welcome to this edition of Money Matters. I'm John Rudy from Kingston Wealth Management, joined today by Mike Flaherty and Chris Rudy, also from Kingston Wealth Management. We're here every Saturday morning at this time to bring you the news and highlights of, guess what's going on in the markets, what's happening in the financial industry. We've got a great topic today that we're going to spend some time talking about that maybe a lot of folks haven't really heard about, and that's the Department of Labor's rule going forward that's we're going to talk a lot about in the second segment. Before we get to that, I want to maybe start with the guys a little bit this morning, a little bit about the week as we've seen it. Mike, I know you were away at a out of country in the Ireland, so you haven't been as up to date. But since you've got back, what have you seen?
Yeah, I was off turning my dollars into euros.
And not a bad time.
Spending
no.
Spending some money overseas. So yeah, it was definitely a good time to travel as the strengthening of the dollar continues to favor that foreign currency exchange. But yeah, I think coming back, you know, and even being gone. So, I mean, I was tuning in every now and then as I could to see, you know, what was happening with the markets and the news, obviously, back in the U.S. But seeing while I was gone, you know, the market continued to climb to new highs and get to 2180, 2185, I think even 2190 on an intraday range area. But so, yeah, I think we've seen that number continue to stay in focus here this week. So a couple days where it took a little bit of a step back,
but
then all of a sudden here we are end of the week and it's right back to where it was. So some favorable news. I think Walmart had a pretty positive earnings report this week and increased their outlook for the rest of the year, which I think anyone in the, you know, bullish side of the camp loves to hear when you got companies that are seeing more favorable spending, more favorable results going forward for the rest of the year.
Chris, anything that you've seen on the horizon? You know, we talked about we were in this kind of a 7-year run basically, and we've had a lot of naysayers during that time and people telling people get out, panic, it's over, it can't go any higher. Is there anything that you can see on the horizon to derail this, or is it just kind of business as usual right now?
No, I think it's definitely business as usual, and when you look at a lot of the kind of leading indicators of when things really do tend to pull back a little bit, we're not there by any means. And really the number one thing you look at is counting the number of stories of people that are telling you that that the sky is falling and that it's time to get out, when everybody's usually the consensus is, well, things couldn't be better and put all your money in. I think that's when maybe I take a little bit of an approach to step back a little bit. But, you know, dividends, there's an article out this week in the Wall Street Journal where dividends on an aggregate of the S&P 500 are nearing and probably will surpass here in the next few weeks the highest that they've ever been. And, you know, it just illustrates that's one of the other ways that mainstream equities can really give you more for your investment than something as simple as maybe a 10-year treasury that really has no return.
Explain that dividend thing, because I think we talk about that a lot of time, guys. And Chris, just how does that benefit somebody then? You know, kind of break that down a little bit as an example.
So it's simply basically just income that you're paid for owning shares of that company. So it's one of the basically three ways that you can get paid for making an investment in a company. You obviously have your capital appreciation. You buy it for X amount. It goes up or down, hopefully up over the long term, and you get returned in that way. But for holding or having the ownership of those companies, they pay you almost what I liken to an interest rate, a dividend.
Right.
It's not guaranteed, of course, maybe like an interest on a bond holding is. But when you look at a percentage basis, it's actually higher now than if you just went out and bought a 10-year treasury. So it's basically income for ownership in these companies.
You know, I think we miss that a lot of time as investors, as folks out there looking for what to do with their money. Mike, I want to ask you a little bit, another topic. A lot of discussion this week, what's going on in healthcare. I think anybody who's been listening may have certainly heard that another major player is pulling out of Illinois, Aetna. A lot of reasons for that. I know there's been some disappointment on the part of management that they weren't allowed to merge with or acquire Humana. And I think that was part of it. But clearly, there's certainly been some cost underestimation, and these companies have, at least reporting, losing lots and lots of money. What's on the horizon for folks looking for healthcare the next year or so?
Yeah, it'll be interesting how that all plays out. I mean, that's going to be a major, as you said, you know, Aetna, I think all but four states is what I read the other day.
Right.
You know, they're pulling out of the Obamacare exchanges on all but four states. So you've got, you know, a huge player in that market space who's just going to kind of abandon being involved in that. So now you talk about kind of the free market and competition stretch. Well, now you're taking, you know, one of the big competitors out, which limits the choices consumers have in that exchange. So that's, you know, that's going to continue to play out. And I think the domino effect of what happens then to the other carriers who are still in it, and whether, you know, their costs have to go up because there's less choice there, and whether they continue to stay in the, you know, the Affordable Care Act program, or whether they start to pull out as well. It's going to be kind of a shakeup here in that industry.
Yeah, I think it's whether or not you're, no matter what you're involved, it certainly seems like 2017 is not going to be a softening of the rates. It's probably going to, people are going to be looking at higher premiums as we go forward, and that's a tough thing. Fortunately, guys, we've got gas prices to offset that a little bit now. Hey, you got to take a little bit of a break. When we come back, we're going to get into the next topic, which is the new Department of Labor rule that's going to come around next April. Back in just a minute.
Will I run out of money before I run out of life? According to many financial surveys, this is by far the number one concern of Americans facing retirement. The retirement specialists at Kingston Wealth Management Group understand that concern and address it with each and every client they speak with. They know retirees will more than likely spend as much as 3 decades in retirement. They plan to travel, spend quality time with grandchildren, or just relax in the comfort that they have the right strategy in place to see all the possibilities come true. Proper asset allocation, diversification, and attention to tax strategy are discussion points they stress with their clients. Preparing for the financial future will go a long way in answering that question, will I run out of money before I run out of life? Call and schedule an appointment soon with the professionals at Kingston Wealth Management. You can reach them at 663-9477. Kingston Wealth Management, financial services above and beyond.
Securities offered through Valmark Securities, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Valmark Advisors, Inc., an SEC-registered investment advisor. Kingston Wealth Management, Inc. is a separate entity from Valmark Securities, Inc. and Valmark Advisors, Inc.
It's time for a change. Bloomington Normal Community Bank recently expanded from a loan office to a full-service bank, and we've been so well-received that we needed a new location. We're still on East Empire, but now at Carnahan Drive, near the airport.
We started in 1960 as a small community bank in Morton, and we have been a resource to Bloomington Normal businesses for decades. Backed by the strength of Morton Community Bank, with assets over $3 billion, we are large enough to handle your personal or commercial requirements.
Our bank is employee-owned. That means we have a vested interest in the success of the bank and its customers. And we have deep roots in this community. Call us at 309-433-9500 and one of our bankers will answer the phone.
Employee-owned, hometown service. That's Bloomington Normal Community Bank. Member FDIC. Look for the clock tower and you'll know. We have time for you.
Welcome back to the show, Money Matters. I'm John Rudy from Kingston Wealth Management, joined today by Chris Rudy, Mike Flaherty from Kingston Wealth Management. As I mentioned, we're glad you're joining us on Saturday mornings. This has been a lot of fun for us, and I hope you're getting some information out of this. As always, following the show, you can certainly contact our office at 663-9477. We can always get back to you with more information. We certainly, I know the guys are more than willing to meet with folks, and you've had a lot of great opportunities already just through this show. I know folks have been tapping your guys' brain a little bit, a little more in-depth. So we're glad to do that at any time you would like. Guys, I want to talk about a topic today that I'll bet a lot of our listeners probably haven't heard of or haven't really quite understood it. And quite frankly, maybe we don't know it all yet because it seems to be changing a little bit as we go along. It's the new Department of Labor's ruling that is going to really affect the retirement plans going forward. And Chris, I might maybe start with you a little bit. What this Department of Labor rule that's going to do that, why has that come about? I mean, what was the promise, or what's supposed to be the promise of that to consumers?
You know, essentially it's the guise of protecting people's retirement assets as we get more and more dependent on retirement assets away from things like Social Security and or pensions. There's a lot up in the air for people, whether they're participants in 401k plans or IRAs, to really get the best quality advice out there, mm-hmm. and hopefully paying for advice equal to the, you know, the value that you're getting for it. And under this regulation, under this proposed rule, and now, you know, going to be enacted, as you point out, next April, that's really the push for it, is that word fiduciary that a lot of people maybe have heard but don't exactly know what it means. And if you hear fiduciary, think best interest. You want somebody that's acting in your best interest. And many times with certain products, especially certain commissionable products, as we get into this, you'll find that maybe you think somebody was acting in your best interest, and in reality, maybe they were motivated a little bit by their own compensation.
Right.
Which is not to paint everybody with a broad brush, because there are a lot of people out there doing it the right way who do have clients' best interests in hand. So, you know, a lot of times we can look back at these rules and maybe are they a little too overreaching? Mm-hmm. Perhaps you could make that argument. Is the spirit of the rule something I think a lot of people should strive for? Certainly. But the devil, as always, is in the details. And as we kind of get into it, you just want to make sure that you're asking the right questions when you're sitting down with an advisor to really determine, hey, now under this new rule, you really do have to act in my best interest. And you know, I think you can get into, well, what does that, you know, shake out to be? How do you quantify that? But that's really going to be, I think, the crux of it going forward.
Mike, you know, we've talked about between now and the time that this thing comes forward or comes as a regulation, as law in April, I think consumers have to be kind of on the lookout a little bit, because there could be some motivation right now for folks out there who are selling commissionable products that they might try to see how much they can get placed now before this thing becomes rule. Is that possible?
Yeah, I think definitely consumers want to be aware of what they're purchasing, want to probably ask those questions of, you know, are you acting as a fiduciary in this sale of this product or strategy? Because as you mentioned, if kind of the bad actors, if you will, have only 6 months to gather up as much of these product as they can before this rule really kicks in, they're probably going to be out there trying to do that. So as individuals, as consumers are getting approached to, you know, purchase one of these products that are a high commission, high driven sales product, they may want to ask some of those questions and just be aware of what it is they're buying.
You know, this thing is definitely coming. And one of the things that I think it's the numbers I've been heard talked about is it may save consumers $17 billion a year in fees and costs. It could equate to a 1% extra return in a given portfolio. I have trouble with that. I don't think anybody can really make that determination right now. But the thing that really bothers me is a lot of these folks now, Mike, Chris, maybe ask Chris, are going to be maybe left on their own because many, many companies are getting out of the business. I saw here locally, one of the large firms has already notified their investment account clients that at the beginning in 2017, they will offer their mutual funds, variable products, and tax-qualified bank deposits through a self-directed customer call center. I don't know about you guys, but I haven't had great luck over the years with call centers. Don't always work the way you want to. But I think the bigger picture, Chris, is that sometimes folks, when they're on their own, may make a choice that may actually backfire on them.
Yeah, I mean, it's something we hit on all the time as part of that financial planning model, where, you know, we spend even last week a lot of time talking about how emotions get involved in
right.
investing. And with this new rule, some will argue that, you know, there will be certain maybe low balance types of accounts that advisors who may be worried about some type of litigation at some point may just say, hey, unfortunately, these balances aren't sufficient enough to justify
right.
us really risking a potential litigation if somebody were to come back and, you know, be unhappy with the result. So you could be actually left with a lot of people to their own devices, which many times, more often than not, if you don't have that kind of guiding hand or that person giving you the plan, it could really make a much more of a detriment to your overall financial outcome, much more than maybe you would be if you were paying some type of fee.
Yeah, I think the potential litigation, Mike, that I see in this, because the way I understand it is that it's still going to be allowed to sell a number of these products that do generate commission to some of these brokers, but there's going to have to be a disclosure contract. I think it's called Best Interested Client BICE, I think is the BICE is what it'll stand for. But that once that contract is in place, then that opens opens the field for potential litigation. I think that's one of the things that I think our people in our industry are going to have to really watch.
Yeah, I think that was one of the first things that kind of came out of this was that it's going to be good for the attorneys, because you're going to see a lot more of the, you know, lawsuits and things that could generate from this. And as you say, that's some of the downside where, You know, clients may not be able to have the number of choices out there of advisors they could work with. You know, we may see more and more, as you mentioned, a large insurance company where those insurance agents aren't going to be licensed to do that business anymore. They're just kind of removing themselves from that picture. So the number of providers out there customers can go to, especially for those smaller balance accounts, right, where they're trying to save for retirement, they're trying to look for options. If somebody's opening themselves up to potential litigation from that, they may not take on that risk for a small balance account.
I know this is going to affect many different firms differently depending on where you land on the spectrum. Kingston Wealth Management right now has always been sort of a assets under management, fee-based planning sort of an arrangement. From that perspective, it clearly puts you guys in a better position because you've sort of been over your time already having that best interest of the client already in mind, and as a result, the transition may not be as difficult for your clients. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think that's a good assessment of it. I'd even add to that, by holding certified financial planner designations, Mike and myself are already held to that fiduciary standard anytime that we work with anybody on a financial planning basis. So, you know, something that we're no strangers to already. What it involves for everyone, whether you're in commissionable product or kind of fee-based asset management approach, it's going to require a little more documentation on our side. It's going to require maybe a little more disclosure. So even though most people come away with a packet of paper that they may or may not read, you're probably going to get a little bit more so you can fix those wobbly tables, or if you need help going to sleep, you'll have more reading. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, you just want to find somebody who's going to give you the best advice possible. And hopefully this rule really brings a lot of that out. Now, hopefully we can maybe overcome some of the potential down aspects of it. But I think at the end of the day, it's going to maybe pursue people to get better advice.
Great discussion, guys. I appreciate that. We'll talk about it again down the road. When we come back, we'll get to the viewer questions. Back in just 1 minute.
When is the last time your bank did something exciting? Something truly amazing? It's time you discover Bloomington Normal Community Bank, your home for amazing banking experiences.
With the amazing account, your checking account earns an annual percentage yield of 5.01% on up to $5,000, rewarded to you in points.
Then you can redeem these points for gift cards, travel, merchandise, even cash.
Plus, there are other ways your amazing account earns points, like using your debit card. So why choose ordinary when you can have something amazing?
Some conditions apply. Come see one of our amazing bankers. We have time for you. Bloomington Normal Community Bank, a division of Morton Community Bank, member FDIC.
The average American spends more time planning vacations than they do planning for retirement. And that's a problem, given the length of time many folks will be living in the years to come. At Kingston Wealth Management, we help clients find a balance, which should allow them to responsibly enjoy life while maintaining financial viability. We have access to state-of-the-art software that can take all the variables into consideration as we develop a financial plan with you, not just for you. Client input is critical in coming up with a plan that does more than just sit on a shelf once it's produced. The team at Kingston Wealth Management is ready to go to work for you. Just give us a call at 663-9477 to set up a no-obligation appointment soon. Make the call today because time truly waits for no one. Kingston Wealth Management, financial solutions above and beyond.
Securities offered through Valmark Securities, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Valmark Advisors, Inc., an SEC-registered investment advisor. Kingston Wealth Management, Inc. is a separate entity from Valmark Securities, Inc. and Valmark Advisors, Inc.
Welcome back to the show, Money Matters. I'm John Rudy from Kingston Wealth Management. Thanks for joining us this Saturday. I hope you're getting some enjoyment out of the show. Hope you're learning a little bit. And as I said, we certainly can ask or answer questions if you've got them after the fact. Certainly want to thank our sponsor, Bloomington Normal Community Bank. Great bank right down here on Empire. Just a great little organization. Guys, I want to get to a question that we had. I think it's a real good one. We talk about insurance from time to time. We don't spend a great deal. But someone wrote last week, how do I determine how much term life insurance I need? Chris, what do you think when you start seeing that? And I'll ask Mike as well.
You know, there's a lot of kind of factors or rules of thumb out there, but obviously things to take care of your final expenses many times is the first motivation for that. You don't want to leave a burden on your family just to pay for the cost of a funeral, casket, any kind of final expenses, which we've seen are, you know, the is really increasing in cost for some of these items. So you kind of start there, and then you look at, well, do I need to do income replacement? Is there a certain multiple of my income that, you know, I need to set aside for a spouse or children to provide for maybe education or pay off some of those big debts like housing in the event that there was a death? So you can look into that of determining, hey, do I need six times the amount of my income? Do I need twice the amount of my income? And really for everybody's circumstances, they're a little bit different, but it's definitely one place that we start.
I think really the way I've heard it answered before is not really the question is how much you really need. It's really how much capital your family will need at the time of your death. And Mike, I think one of the things that I have seen personally through policies that I've gotten, the pricing is still very, very competitive, very, very friendly right now for some 10, 15, even 20-year term, depending on your age and health. But talk a little bit about just that availability in the markets right now.
Yeah, term insurance, as we talk about, is really the death benefit protection piece where you're trying to buy as much insurance as you can for as low of a cost as you can to provide, as Chris said, paying off those funeral expenses, paying off any last, you know, final medical expense bills, paying off debts. You might want to, you know, pay off the mortgage and things like that for your family if something happens to you. But yeah, the affordability of term insurance, especially for younger, healthier individuals, but even as you get into your 40s and 50s, can still be very competitive. Especially as you shop through an insurance, you know, Kingston Wealth Management, where we work through our broker dealer,
right,
our insurance agency as independent producers. So we can quote 10, 15, 20 different companies and find the best premium, the best policy out there. So when you're working with someone who can shop your individual situation across a line of carriers, it can definitely help you secure the best insurance for you and your family going forward.
You know, you guys have seen cases, both the good, the bad, when someone doesn't have enough, when someone has adequate and they get a check at the right time, what it can mean to a family. I think that's the thing that people have to really take into consideration is that, A, how much do you really need? I mean, in other words, how much family things do you have to fund? How many capital? How much capital do you really have to have? It's really tragic when you see somebody who does have a young family and doesn't have enough.
Yeah, having that insurance in place, you know, I think one of the one of the reluctancies of people to buy that insurance is they think, well, I'm not going to be there. I don't need it. But having that serious discussion of what is it I want to make sure my family's taken care of for.
Guys, great show. I can't believe we're out of time, but we are coming up to that again. Thanks for listening this weekend. Hope you get a chance to get out and enjoy a little bit of it. We'll be back next week with another edition of Money Matters. Till then, this is John Rudy from Kingston Wealth Management saying thanks for listening.
Securities offered through Valmark Securities, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Valmark Advisors, Inc., an SEC-registered investment advisor. Kingston Wealth Management, Inc. is a separate entity from Valmark Securities, Inc. and Valmark Advisors, Inc.